another day. All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And I am so glad to have my good friend, Mr. Max Richmond, back on the airways. He is the president and CEO of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, Earl. It's so good to talk to you again.
It is really good to talk to you. You know, I tried to get in touch with you because, you know, so many conversations being had about Social Security and Medicare. It is on the front burner. You know, the Republicans said they were not going to touch it. During last election cycle, we're not going to touch Social Security and Medicare. It's untrue. Yet there are conversations being had as we speak. But before we get to that, so you guys were involved in the state Supreme Court race that just ended here in the state of Wisconsin. Janet Protasiewicz, now soon to be Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz, and Kelly, I forgot Kelly's first name, but anyway, it doesn't matter. We shouldn't even mention his name anymore based on how he responded after losing. But you, let's talk a little bit about the race and why it was important that you guys got involved in that.
Well, her opponent's name, by the way, was Daniel Kelly.
Daniel Kelly, all right.
I won't say it again either. But it was unusual for us. We, as you know, get involved in through our political action committee and endorsement process in federal races, House and Senate, because that's where our issues lie. Occasionally we get into a state race, very rarely, usually governors, but this was an exception, and we endorsed the judge, Judge Janet. I interviewed her. We had a Zoom session. We felt it was important for so many reasons and that are go beyond specifically issues like Social Security and Medicare. We think she'll be a justice on the Wisconsin Supreme Court that will protect seniors' voting rights. That's critical. We need to make sure that the people of Wisconsin have a free process to elect their representatives and can elect people if they choose that will be committed to protecting Social Security and Medicare. And during our research into this campaign, we came across some very troubling comments from her opponent. And the top of the list was a comparison of Social Security to, quote, indentured servitude, in other words, slavery. And we thought that was just an outrageous perspective on Social Security, which is, as you know, a program that has lifted more people out of poverty than all federal other programs combined. So this was a hot button for us, and we decided to get into this race and make an endorsement. And we were not alone in terms of the senior advocacy group. A number of other groups joined us in that effort, and we're very happy with the outcome.
You know, I'm so glad that you guys were involved and that the outcome, what it was. But there is something on the horizon that people who have Social Security, receive Social Security and Medicare, they are facing immediately. And that's the fact that if the debt ceiling is not lifted and the threats that are being made by Republicans, that unless there are cuts to Social Security and Medicare, they will allow a default of you know, the debt that the nation owes, and it will impact and affect those who are receiving Social Security and Medicare as we speak. Let's talk about how people who said that they would not do this, and yet they are holding this over the heads of Democrats and demanding that they make cuts to the programs that they swore they weren't going to touch.
Yeah, it's absolutely outrageous. We should be clear about a couple things. First of all, Social Security hasn't added a penny to the federal debt. Social Security has a surplus of almost $3 trillion. It has taken in more money over the years than it's paid out in benefits. It is true that in about 11 or 12 years, the date fluctuates a little bit, there won't be enough money saved up to pay everybody their full benefits. And we can't let that happen. But that is a separate issue. And as you and I have talked about it, there are proposals that would deal with that shortfall that will come in about a dozen years. But that has absolutely no bearing on the debt ceiling. And to use these programs, Social Security and the Medicare Part A Trust Fund, as leverage is absolutely outrageous. I know that after being called out by our president at his State of the Union, a lot of Republican House members and senators backed off and said, no, we're not going to go through with what we've been talking about. But nevertheless, we need to be concerned about the process of raising the debt limit. We need to make sure Social Security is not bargained away as part of that process. And we will do everything we can in our lobbying efforts to make sure that those programs are protected.
You know, Max, I think that these people need to be exposed. These Republicans and congressmen and senators who outright lied and said we were not going to touch it have now, under people not knowing that this conversation is being had, and then making threats to tie it into the debt ceiling, the disingenuousness of that, and yet people vote for these people not knowing what's in their minds, not knowing that, because where are they reading this at, Max? Where is the average senior who might vote Republican? Where are they hearing this information? They're not. And so they can do and say these things and get away with it because the average senior is too busy worrying about trying to make sure they have enough food to eat and to keep a roof over their heads.
Well, you know, Earl, that's such a good point. I have, you know, I meet a lot of people professionally, socially. They find out that I'm with the Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. Invariably, people say, oh, I'm for that. I'm for Social Security. That's not enough. They need to be asked at town hall meetings, at campaign events. We're going to, you know, it's never ending. There's campaign goes on all the time. And when members of Congress in your area or anywhere have events with constituents, don't accept, I'm for Social Security. Ask the specific questions. Well, that's good. Where are you on raising the age for receiving benefits? I asked that, and they say, well, I'm for that. Well, if you're for that, you're not for protecting Social Security, because that's a reduction in benefits over the time a beneficiary is eligible to receive Social Security. Or where are you on the cost of living adjustment? oh, I'm for cutting the cost of living adjustment. Well, if you're for cutting it, you're not really for Social Security. So my point is, do not accept from members of Congress or people running for Congress, policymakers, the blank statement, I'm for Social Security. Ask the specific questions and get specific answers and try to get commitments.
You know, Max, they're also terrifying younger people. There's not going to be any Social Security around for you. And so since there's not going to be any Social Security around for you, you're going to get the short end of the stick. Nobody's ever said that there didn't need to be some changes, some adjustments that, or maybe I'm, you know, misunderstanding it or mistaken, Max, but the people are aware. You're on Capitol Hill. You are in the discussions. You are a lobbyist, and so you are talking directly with congressmen and senators, U.S. Congress people, and these conversations are being had, aren't they?
Absolutely, and it's important to focus on younger people because there's been so much misinformation.
Fear-mongering, so many, fear-mongering.
So, fear-mongering, myths, and we've heard it for years. The program is broke. It won't be there for you as a younger person when you retire. And in fact, it has worked. It has worked, Earl. You know, I've seen surveys for years.
So Max, do me a favor. Max, do me a favor. Hang on. We've got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to go to the phone lines. Max Great. Richmond, he is the president and CEO of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Max Richmond. He's the president and CEO of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. Let's go to the phone lines. Max, let's bring CJ on. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Max, stay in your own state. Stop lying about Social Security. The mere fact that Dan Kelly said it's a shame that with what interest rate do we get in our Social Security, Max? What interest rate are Americans paid on our Social Security savings accounts? Yeah, I figured you wouldn't answer that.
Well, give him a chance to. Well, hold on, CJ. Give him a chance to respond before you go flying off the handle. Max, you want to respond to that question?
Yes, I do. Absolutely. Social Security payments are pegged to inflation. You get a cost of living adjustment. I don't think it's enough, but it's really the only kind of program that has a built-in adjustment for inflation. As I said, it should be the formula needs to be revisited. The COLA should be expanded. You know, I think this year it was over 5.5% increase. Last year was even, I think, close to 8%. That's an effort to keep up with inflation, and that's critical to the Social Security program. Otherwise, your benefit will fall behind because it is not adjusted for inflation. And I do want to emphasize that the formula needs to be adjusted so that it is pegged towards how inflation is affecting an older person. That's not exactly how it works now, but we're working on changing that.
All right, CJ, go ahead.
A fabulous job with inflation. And the mere fact that you come into our state with an organization, I'd like to know what Janet's resolution, because every man, woman, and child owes $95,000. Do you have any grandchildren, Max?
Well, CJ, what does that have to do with Social Security
because
and Medicaire?
This man's a liar. This man's a liar.
Well, CJ, let me say this to you. I'm not going to have you, you know, come on the airways and call a man who has dedicated his life, who's on Capitol Hill, who's meeting with congressmen and senators, both Democrats and Republicans, and allow a guy like you, a backseat driver, to be disrespectful to a man who's doing the kind of work that he is doing. That's the end of our conversation. Cut him off. You know, Max, it is horrible that this guy and others like him who don't like the fact that you guys supported Janet Protasiewicz, which you have every right to do, and because there are many who are supporting Dan Kelly, but yet to come in and talk in a manner that he's talking in, he did not even address the issue that the Social Security and Medicare that people are receiving right now, that there are Republicans looking to do what they can to cut that and to tie that into the debt ceiling.
Yeah, thank you, Earl. You know, this caller really has bought into what I was about to say before the break. There are so many myths about Social Security. He asked me if I have grandchildren. The answer is yes. And I am committed to making sure this program is there for them.
Yes.
As well as for current beneficiaries. And right now, this man has bought into these myths about the program's broke. It won't be there in the future, and those grandchildren won't be getting their benefits. This man, I think, has bought into the fact that as many younger people have, that they're more likely to see a UFO or see Bigfoot than to ever see a Social Security check. And that is not true. The only way Social Security will not be there in the future is if we have 100% unemployment and nobody is paying into the program. Obviously, that's not going to happen. There is a shortfall. I hope he's still listening. Maybe he can be educated on this. There is a shortfall in the long run, and we need to fix that, because after 2034, there won't be enough money to pay full benefits, not to pay any benefits, to pay full benefits. And the way to fix that is to ask people, maybe he's
hey,
one
Max,
of them.
I hate to do it. Can I get you to hang on a little longer?
Of course.
All right. Max Richmond, you know, the president and CEO of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare, is on the line. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Max Richmond. He is the president and CEO of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. You know, Max, let me do this before we go to the phone line. Senators Bill Cassidy, Republican Louisiana, and August King, an independent from Maine, they've got a bill that they want to bring in that would put Social Security on a slippery slope towards privatization and ultimately cutting benefits for future beneficiaries. You know anything about that?
Well, I do. I know as much as is available. There's no bill yet. There's a proposal. They're shopping it around. They haven't been able to get on the record any Democrats to support it. And so they're, as of the moment, they're holding off because they want to present a bipartisan proposal in terms of legislation. So, I don't know where it's at. It's pretty closely held. But what the proposal does, in the simplest way to explain it, is it borrows a lot of money from the federal government, over $1 trillion, to invest in the stock market and use the increase in value over time to add to the Social Security program. Now, if it doesn't work out, and by the way, it's usually taken 30, 40, 50 years to improve the value of a portfolio over that period of time. If it doesn't work out, the backup plan is, guess what? We're going to cut benefits. So it's, we've raised a lot of awareness about it. We've sent a very detailed letter to all senators and House members. And as of right now, I don't see any movement, but it's still a live issue.
We've certainly, you've listened to these shell games before. Let's do this. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Max. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must remember that. Where is this can-do attitude from people? I bet if we don't put any money and we don't fund any money toward the military-industrial complex, that'll go away too. The whole idea with Social Security and Medicare is that we fund the damn thing. What we want to do is we want to raise the cap. It's a very, very simple thing. Everyone, it's fairness. Everyone pays in. We don't make it into a separate system. All these people that say, it's going to be over. You know why it's going to be over? Because of that attitude. And I'm sorry, but that's not the type of attitude I have about things. I look at things in terms of if we each are putting in $5 into a pot and you have a class full of 50 kids, that's $150. Whereas if you put in one person put $5 in, you're gonna end up with a problem.
Yeah, but Tom,
that's the whole idea of the collective.
This is our own money. Okay? I mean, this is money that if you didn't put the money in, then you're not likely going to get the money out. This is your own savings plan. Okay?
Correct.
For those of us who aren't don't have what's the wealth they call it that you've had over your lifetime. I can't think of it. Family wealth. What's the term that they use for that?
Inheritance.
What'd you say?
Inheritance.
Yeah.
Inheritance.
Yeah, inheritance. And if you don't have generational wealth, then Social Security is my generational wealth.
90% of the people don't have 90% of the people don't have generational wealth.
I know, but Tom, my Social Security check every month for me is my generational wealth.
Right,
I'm just saying.
Earl, what I'm talking about is even for the future. Where is this attitude that, oh, it's not going to be there? Well, yeah, it's not going to be there if it's not funded. The whole point is we have to fund it. We have to have that America can-do attitude instead of these people being naysayers, say, oh, it won't be there. What the hell is that? That's not the United States of America. That's something
Tom, and CJ's position was, well, they put money in against Dan Kelly, so, you know, I can't support that because they shouldn't have been putting money in with Dan Kelly. Ridiculous.
Then CJ should join me in the idea of getting money completely out of politics and put it actually towards the things that actually help these people.
So
I feel like these people that say these things are basically taking their head and they're pounding it against a wall and they're blaming the wall. Like someone said yesterday, I believe. I mean, this is just ridiculousness. We are Americans. We can do anything. We went to the moon.
So Tom, hang on. Max, you know, Tom is a guy who is not of Social Security age, and yet he sees the importance in this.
Well, let me. I think one of the most important things that he said needs to be addressed, and that is his comment of raise the cap, right? A lot of people are not aware that there's a limit on the payroll tax on wages, and it goes up a little bit every year. This year, 2023, it's $160,200. After that, no more Social Security tax, no more payroll tax. Why? We have supported, as I think the caller would, eliminating that cap. Politically, that's probably not feasible right now, but it can be adjusted. And there are proposals in the Congress that would keep the cap at what it is. And as I said, it goes up a little every year. But start again at $250,000 in wages or $400,000 in wages. That brings in enough money to extend the program for many years, and enough money to improve some of the benefits that need to be addressed, like the inadequate cost of living adjustment, survivor benefits. And so I'm glad he brought that up because, as I said, a lot of people don't realize that there's a cap because they never made more than the cap. And
right.
It's not fair. It's not right. And to give you one example, there's a very famous basketball player. I will not name him because I did once and I got into a little trouble. But he makes so much money, he stops paying Social Security tax halfway through the first quarter of the first game of the basketball season. The rest of that quarter, the game, the season, the playoffs, the championship, no payroll tax. That's not right.
You know, the other side of that, Max, is the amount of additional taxes that these wealthy billionaires will be taxed is minuscule to them. They've got all the other tax breaks and tax cuts. So that shouldn't be an issue for them. It's not going to be such an additional tax on them that it would impact or affect the billions that they already have. So, I mean, it's nonsensical to ignore that.
You're absolutely right. And the other piece of it is so many of these very wealthy people don't pay any payroll tax because they don't make their money in wages.
Right.
They make it in stock options. I read something that one of the richest men in the world pays no payroll tax because he doesn't get a salary. He doesn't get wages. He gets his income through other means. So we need to fix that, and I hope it happens.
Tom?
Side as a society, are we a collective or are we just survival of the fittest individuals? That's really what we need to decide. And as far as I know, we're called the United States. It's called the US States for a reason. Because the whole idea of this American experiment was that we all collectively make up what it is that we can't do individually. And that is Social Security, hey. Medicare, Medicaid, all of those different things.
Hey, Tom.
Also, if you want to go to it, that's a Christian ideal as well.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. You know, Max, as you know, you and I have been talking, almost a century, having these dialogues. And, you know, it hasn't changed much. You still got the same people in opposition to Social Security. And the people who are in opposition to Social Security, Max, aren't the Republican people for the most part. It is, you know, elected Republicans, but not the average John Q. public. He's not opposed to Social Security and Medicare. And yet that's what they're being fed. I just don't get that.
Well, you know, they need to, the elected officials and policymakers need to start paying attention to those people that you just referred to. All of the polling over many years shows overwhelming support for not just protecting Social Security, but improving the benefits. Over 80% Democrats, Republicans, Independents. And it's up to the media, me, advocates, to make sure over time we can translate that into the way people vote on Capitol Hill and the positions people take in the White House.
You know, it because they will change their tune if the American people demand that they change their tune, right?
Absolutely.
You know, and so I don't care who it is or what axe it is they have to grind. They're able to do this. And if there wasn't watchdog groups like yours, we would never even get this information. How would we possibly even know? They're not running around saying that if the debt ceiling has been raised, then we're going to make sure that Social Security and Medicare, that those people bear the burden of that. I mean, that just, to me, is nonsensical for anybody who receives Social Security and Medicare.
Well, you're right on target as usual, and people will know because of the media and the advocates that take those positions.
Hey, Max, I know you got to run, but thank you as always, my friend. I really appreciate it.
You take care, Earl. Thanks for inviting me.
All right. We'll talk soon. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. At 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And man, I just am at a loss for words. So much when, you know, the older I get, the more I start realizing the things that are happening around me that are impacting and affecting us. And we just seem to not have the will to fight back. We don't have to accept these things. The things that are not right will remain that way if we don't, as Tom always says, fight back. Man, to sit back and wait for somebody to cut your Social Security and Medicare benefits and not be, you know, one of the reasons why I think this show is so important is not because of me. It's clearly not me. It is the fact that we bring in people who, and I think about it every day, you know, before we even talk about doing the show. Not about me, because I'm just the person who sits in this seat. Nothing special about me. But the people that we bring on the air should make you think. You know, I do seriously give thought to the people who come on these airwaves during the time that I'm here. I don't just pull a rabbit out of the hat. You know, I know the things that aren't right. And I know that they're not going to get better unless we make it happen. We have to change these things. You know, for heaven's sakes, you can't be talking about cutting Social Security and Medicare and then increasing the military budget. That's just insane to me. And it should be insane to you. Any of you who are opposed to, you know, raising the debt ceiling without making these adjustments and cuts to Social Security and Medicare, I just think, you know, you got some real issues. You've got some real serious issues if you don't understand that. And so that's why, you know, this show, unlike most others, are going to focus on these types of issues. Because it's, after all, the people who we should be concerned about. And I mean the average everyday people who, you know, who make the world go round. Those of you who take the time out to listen, you listen because you know that the issues that we're going to bring forward, will there be some humor? There'll be a little levity at times. But for heaven's sakes, the sky is falling. And so we're going to spend more time talking about the sky falling than we are about laughing and joking. Because what's happening to people is no laughing matter. And I happen to spend my time around people whose sky is falling. That's the essence of who I am and what I do with my life. And the blessing that I have here on this radio station is to be able to bring the information to people who are American citizens, as well as people who are billionaires, and who should be equal. We should all be equal. Let's bring Karina on. Just bring her on. Hey, good morning to you, Karina. How you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. You see, this is why I don't understand, and how does it happen? How American population is so infantile in terms of standing up for themselves. At what point you allow yourself to be treated like a stalk of a dumb lamb, just pushed where I'm sure that if we're going to look how many people make $162,000 and up, and what the percentage is going to be for them to start paying. And I'm sure that everybody who's below that can stop paying altogether, and we will have enough money.
Yes.
That's one. And two, isn't it that they did the same thing with the money for unions? They invested this money and they lost it all?
Yes. You know, well, Joe Biden actually bailed them out, and one of the largest unions that was in dire needs and were tricked to invest the money in the wrong thing in the wrong places. And yes, you're right. We just can't get the people to understand the importance of you know, what really is important. And that's to make sure that people in this nation, again, the wealthiest nation on earth, that those people have an equal access to a good life, which this nation can afford, right, to give to each and every person on this in this country. Karina,
absolutely.
Karina, I wish we had more time, but I gotta go, and we'll be right back. 844-967-2789. I'm going to be joined by Common Ground, a group of churches from in mosques and temples and synagogues who represent the same thing that I'm talking about, fighting for everybody and not having any walls that separate them. We'll be right back.
Me.